Today we meet Carlos Quaremba. He's One Nation's candidate for the seat of Barker. The Victor Harbour-based builder ran for the seat of Finniss in the state election. Now he's looking for a federal win. When he was very young, Carlos's parents left everything they knew behind them in their native Argentina to escape to Australia following that country's military coup. He's spruiking the benefits of agriculture, water allocation for irrigators, and has shared concerns about government overreach. He joins me now. Hi there, Carlos.
How are you going?
Really well, thank you. It's been a big year for you. What's motivated you in your bid for politics?
I think you sort of see what's going on with the country and you see that it's heading in the right direction, and eventually, if good people don't stand up and actually, you know, come out of the trenches and have a fight, then we end up with not what we think was Australia. We lose a lot of our freedoms, as we've discovered in the last 2 years.
Right, yeah. Tell us a little bit more about that, your concern with regards to COVID restrictions and things like that.
Well, I think we've used a one-size-fits-all for lockdowns, mandates, and we really haven't thought about this. And now that there's a lot of evidence that we've gone the wrong way, we still continue to make bad decisions. You know, we're still enforcing the vaccine on people that, you know, you've got to get the vaccine to go to work. Well, we know that the vaccine doesn't stop transmission. It may slow it down. That's, you know, up for argument. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of industries at the moment really suffering disability support. You know, hospitals are short-staffed. I've spoken to people in nursing homes. They're working triple shifts. So where does the danger that we're putting people in, you know, the vulnerable people in now because we're understaffed versus forcing someone to get a vaccine that, you know, especially with now so many people have had COVID, I've had COVID, you know, you've got to sort of ask the question, when are we going to actually start living with COVID?
Right. So, yeah, okay. Now, why One Nation? What appeals to you about the party?
There's no ambiguity about where we stand on things. And I think that is one of the biggest issues in politics, is that they tend to say one thing and do another. Sometimes they don't even know what they stand for. I mean, you just got to look at the two major parties now. They're meant to be at opposite ends of the spectrum, and they're preferencing each other at the moment because they understand that the minor parties and the independents and the freedom-friendly parties are actually starting to make some way. I mean, I think there was a survey going out, 30% of the Australian population do not want to vote with major parties. They don't feel represented, and I think for me, One Nation was a good fit. I really believe a lot of their policies, they're very much pro-Australian and putting Australia first. And I look at it that as not so much being racist, it's just being patriotic. And the fact that I wasn't even born here and I care more about my country than some people here is really astounding.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, One Nation certainly has that reputation. Pauline Hanson famously said in her maiden speech that Australia was in danger of being swamped by Asians. She's called for the abolition of multiculturalism in a lot of ways and railed against Indigenous rights and political correctness. So, yeah, as an immigrant, you know, I'm sure you've faced that question before about being aligned with a party that is perceived to be racist.
And that's the key word, isn't it? Perceived. And what you perceive things is based on your upbringing, your moral conditioning, you know, life experiences. You know, we all say things when we're younger and we grow as we get older and we gain more knowledge, but the fundamental ideologies of what we believe in and who we want to look after, you know, never changes. And that's what it is for me. You know, like I said, I'm a builder. I'm doing really well. COVID really hasn't affected me. Mandates haven't affected me. But this isn't about me. And this is what Australians have got to start thinking about. It's not just about them. It's about your fellow Australians and the ones that are doing it tough. We're looking at some pretty big interest rate hikes coming up, and there's a lot of people that are going to really struggle to pay back mortgages. You know, we need to start looking after those people. We need to look after the people that built the country, all our pensioners. You know, there's no sense of connection. I think a lot of that's gone between the younger generation and the older generation, you know, and I'd like to bring that back. That sense of family, the sense of family unit is very important. I think it's what made Australia great. And I think it's, you know, I think the left side of politics is really just trying to trash that, and I'm going to stand up against that.
Carlos Quaremba is with us. He's One Nation's candidate for the seat of Barker. Speaking about the cost of living and trying to support people, what do you propose? What would One Nation like to do to help tackle cost of living pressures for people in our electorate?
Well, we're going to look at tax reform. We're going to look at multinationals, paying their fair of taxes. You know, at the moment, a lot of the raw materials that are owned by all Australians, including immigrants, are being sent off to be, you know, to make other countries great and help with their manufacturing, and we get very little for it. And we need to really address that because we have a lot of raw materials here. We have a lot of resources, and I don't think that Australian and Australian population are actually getting the full benefit of that. So we're very much about trying to increase manufacturing back in this country. We used to build a lot of things in this country, and we don't do that anymore. So we're sort of pushing people into jobs that aren't necessarily the highest paying or not long-term employment. You know, our unemployment rate's really low, but if you actually look at what unemployment, how it's measured, you only have to work 1 hour a week and you're considered unemployed.
Yeah, a lot of people are quite underemployed at the moment.
Oh, extremely. Yeah. Mm. Also casual employment, so therefore they don't have stability, can't afford a house. You know, the difference between the haves and have-nots is getting greater. The middle of the country, the middle class, which is the engine of the country, is under a lot of strain. It's becoming smaller, and we want to reverse that. Mm. That's the farmers, the people in construction, people in that do the odd jobs, the cleaners, all these people that all contribute to society, they're getting squeezed at the moment, and we need to try and reverse that. You know, it's got to be good for everybody, not just the higher end of town.
And that's maybe something that you do have in common with the left. You said that, you know, the left is kind of trashing politics at the moment, but that's certainly a major consideration for the Greens and Labor is trying to actually maybe reduce the wealth divide.
Yeah, but the issue with that I find with the left is they reduce the wealth divide, but what they're actually doing is they just increase the bureaucracy. We need less people telling people how to do. We need less chiefs and more Indians, if you get what I'm saying. We need more people that are actually going to drive the workforce, that are actually going to be hands-on, that build the nation, not people just directing people. You know, the level of bureaucracy, I mean, you know, the Labor Party are very much about employing more people in the government. We're trying to reduce that. We want to value-add jobs. You get what I'm saying? We want to actually get people... You know, so if you're working hard, your taxes should actually go to being value adding, not just filling another person's pocket that really just is not doing anything other than just being there. You know.
And tell me about what you'd like to achieve for farmers along the River Murray.
Oh, for me, it's not one skerrick of water to leave South Australia. I think the farmers in this state are absolutely exceptional about how they've gone about being efficient with water. So there's no more water. The water that they have, that no one should. The buybacks, not a chance. I would definitely not support buybacks. They just tend to remove people out of communities, and then the communities struggle. I was up in Renmark yesterday, and I saw firsthand a lot of vacant, empty shops. You know, these are people that were once there; those shops were thriving, and now that community doesn't have that service, because people are leaving the town, people are selling up, you know. So I would want to encourage more people to move up to regional areas. They're beautiful places to live, very relaxing, you know, great way of life, and I would do whatever I could to encourage that, and that's definitely looking after farmers.
And just lastly, you know, you are on the south coast, so I imagine you might need to have a little bit of a move if you did get the position in Barker. Is that the case?
That is correct. And I tell you what, I've been to quite a bit of Barker, and that would be a really hard decision to work out because I think it's all amazing. You know, I think we live in probably the best state in the best country, you know. So that's definitely on the cards. If I got elected and the people showed faith in me, I would definitely move up there. And my door would always be open, and we'd have debate and discussion about whatever topic you liked. Mm-hmm. We may not agree, but at the end of the day, that's the cornerstone of living in a democratic country where we don't always have to agree on things, but we can move forward.
I really appreciate your time today, Carlos. Thanks for joining us.
No, thank you very much for your time.